Good afternoon, 4:30 and 71 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Coffey.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
So protests in our country are pretty common, and we respect everybody's right to express themselves.
Nearly 1,000 protesters greeted Senator Mitch McConnell when he spoke to the Anderson County Chamber of Commerce today.
The flu forces the cancellation of classes for the rest of this week in Martin County.
And horses are said to be roaming free in Breathitt County.
In sports, UK hits the hardwood at Missouri tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Scattered showers likely this evening, lows in the 50s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Nearly 1,000 people crowded behind a chain-link fence today to try to catch Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell's attention as he made his first stop on a tour of Kentucky during the congressional recess. The protesters chanted, "No ban, no wall, Mitch McConnell, take our call." That was a reference to McConnell's clogged voicemail system during the first month of Donald Trump's presidency. The senator was in Lawrenceburg to speak to the Anderson County Chamber of Commerce. McConnell was greeted inside by a standing ovation.
Let me just say about protesting. You know, this country for 240 years has been an open country where you can express your points of view as long as you do it peacefully, and we're proud of that. So I'm proud of those folks out there. They don't much like what I'm doing. They don't share my agenda. But I respect their right to be there and to express themselves.
One of those protesters outside the chamber identified himself as Robert Brown. He was in a wheelchair because of spina bifida. He told reporters he was there to express his opposition to McConnell's vow to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
The spread of the flu virus has prompted the Martin County School District to cancel classes for the rest of this week. Superintendent Larry James spoke with WYMT.
He says teachers sick, staff members.
He says absenteeism throughout the district was on the rise.
Sick, staff members sick, along with kids. And then my parents were saying they're not going to send their kids to school because, you know, try to avoid being sick.
James says cancellation of the instructional day should not push back the close of the academic year. He says it's still slated for May 22nd.
Record-breaking temperatures hit the Appalachian region today, and more abnormally warm weather will likely follow. That's according to the National Weather Service meteorologist Chuck Grief. Grief says the NWS in Jackson recorded a high of 74 compared to the previous record of 72.
Well, this week it looks like some continuation. What we've seen much of this winter actually is a very abnormally warm temperatures. In fact, we're really on the outer boundaries of what we can expect is possible for a warm pattern during this time of year.
Grief says this is caused by Pacific storms driving warm air north. He says that phenomenon is not rare for this time of year, but more than once or twice in a row is very unlikely.
A mild winter has spared northeast Kentucky's roads the usual beating that they take from old man winter, and that's been good for at least one county's budget. Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy says Fleming County's road crews have been mobilized only a couple of times over the past few months for highway snow removal duties. Foxworthy believes that has saved his county a few bucks.
It's really hard to say, but, you know, I guess we're counting the fuel and labor costs and overtime and things like that. You know, we're going to save probably somewhere $8,000 to $10,000 in work hours alone. Material will be a little more than that, but just labor costs will be in somewhere in the $8,000 to $10,000 range.
Fleming County has about 300 miles of roads, and they've also been spared the usual beating that they absorb during the winter months. That means less potholes to fill and new gravel to spread when the spring rolls around.
Ohio is of vital importance to the nation's transportation system, but its own network of roads and bridges leaves much to be desired. So says the manager of governmental affairs for a nonprofit organization that has assessed their condition, Jason Warner is with the Greater Ohio Policy Center.
The American Society of Civil Engineers has graded Ohio's 125,000 plus miles of roads a D, finding that 43% of the state's roadways are in critical, poor, or fair condition. Of greater concern is a finding that 8% of total bridges in the state are structurally deficient.
Warner says the annual cost to Ohioans for driving on roads in need of repair comes to $413 per motorist. He testified before the House Finance Committee.
A strategic planning meeting was held at the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg last Thursday to promote the future of the city. Prestonsburg Mayor Liz Stapleton says the meeting helped formulate plans and generate several different ideas to develop the city.
They were sort of back and forth. There was no one topic that really stood out. What they did was they had different tables working and joining together with their ideas and stuff and picking out two or three strong ideas. And each table pretty much had a different piece of information for us.
Some of those ideas include public farms, community centers, sportsplex, and different types of infrastructure. A second meeting will be held in April to further discuss the plans.
An information technology company in northern Kentucky is spending the next 180 days designing a strategic plan to make the region a hub for the growth of knowledge-based businesses. The director of development for Centrifuge is Patrick Henshaw. The company has been retained by Kenton County to do that job. He says the mission is to craft an ecosystem for the area that makes it attractive for those types of operations to build and expand in northern Kentucky. Among the region's greatest needs, says Henshaw, is access to venture capital.
We want to form not necessarily me personally, but we're driving towards forming a $50 million capital fund of high net worth individuals from the region that can focus on bringing and retaining talent in the region. We also need to identify the places where individuals and companies can work and grow their businesses. And we also need to focus on a regional effort.
Henshaw says that means working with people and organizations all over Kentucky to harness the resources necessary to create a vibrant ecosystem for the development of knowledge-based companies.
Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the Moorhead-Rowan County Recreation Committee is already hard at work building a plan that will lead to upgrades to the area's recreational facilities. According to Trent, the group is basing its efforts on suggestions it received from Rowan Countyans during a survey done last summer. He notes the final blueprint will be about a lot more than just the construction of a new recreation park.
This is about overall community wellness, dog parks, playgrounds, green spaces, parks, walking trails, biking trails, and yeah, there could be some fields in there. But the whole thing is trying to do an overall wellness upgrade in facilities for our community.
Trent says the final recreation facilities plan will be presented to the Moorhead City Council and Rowan County Fiscal Court for their approval. At that time, how to fund those improvements will also be discussed.
The historic structure that has served as the home for Moorhead State University's presidents for around 90 years will be getting a makeover of sorts. The house, located on the west side of campus, will receive some infrastructure improvements starting this summer. MSU Assistant Vice President for Facilities Management Rick Linio says the project will mainly involve upgrading the building's aging plumbing and electrical systems, which could cost in the neighborhood of $300,000.
Because most of the work is very intrusive, because you're opening up walls and plaster, so there's a lot of repair that you have to do. There's some asbestos, very minor, in the basement area where the pipes are, but that's not unexpected for a house that age.
If approved by MSU's Board of Regents, the renovations will start July 1st, right after retiring school president Wayne Andrews and his wife vacate the house. The Regents must also still determine where the university's next president will live during the project, which is expected to take about 3 to 4 months.
The University of Louisville's interim president is pledging a drastic belt-tightening steps to deal with the $48 million budget shortfall at the school. The Courier-Journal reports that interim president Greg Postel told U of L trustees recently that a 4% shortfall means administrators will need to cut up to $48 million to balance the budget. He hopes the task can be achieved without major layoffs and changes to programs. As a result, Postel says no more than 25% of open positions at the university will be filled Also, renovation and deferred maintenance projects will be put on hold. Salaries will remain flat, and administrative and expense reductions will be increased. A budget draft for the 2017-2018 fiscal year should be reviewed by trustees in May.
The FBI is warning Kentucky businesses to take steps to protect themselves from ransomware. Jeffrey Hester is a special agent with the Louisville-based Cyber Squad. He says criminals are gaining access to a business's files, encrypting them, and then demanding a ransom payment for the release of those files. Hester says the lawbreakers are using a file they call a dropper to get past the computer's firewall.
How it defeats your firewall is your firewall is kind of like a, I like to use an analogy, that it's kind of like a gated community. And this dropper's caught a ride in the back of a pickup truck and got inside, and the gatekeeper doesn't know who belongs there and who doesn't. But if they come to the gate and say, let this guy in, that guy comes in. So they develop these droppers. They'll sell access to the guys who develop the ransomware. The dropper call out. Ransomware comes in, infects your computer.
Hester says businesses victimized by ransomware can be devastated. He recommends that they back up all their files on computers not connected to the Internet, and that companies keep their antivirus software up to date.
Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Whitney Westerfield says the best way to increase workforce participation in Kentucky and reduce its number of repeat offenders is to help ex-cons succeed after they leave prison. The Christian County Republican says a criminal justice reform bill likely to be voted on during this session of the legislature will aid those efforts. Westerfield appeared on Monday on KET's Kentucky Tonight. He says 95% of Kentucky's felons will be released from prison, and the best way to keep them from going back is to help them get jobs. The senator is pushing a bill that creates a couple of work-related paths to promote that goal. One of them, says Westerfield, is the PIE program.
Private industry enhancement will allow a company to build a facility inside the prison wall. Again, this is voluntary work. We're not compelling inmates to do this, but if they want to, they can participate in this. And while they're earning a marketable trade skill or learning what it's just like to have a job and honor their obligations, they're also being able to pay on child support. They're also being asked to pay back to Victims Compensation Board for restitution they owe.
Westerfield's plan would also make it easier for ex-offenders to obtain professional licenses and obtain access to substance abuse treatment.
A woman had to be rescued today after her car went off a 150-foot cliff in Clay County. According to WYMT, crews arrived to find the woman in her car at the bottom of an embankment along Goose Creek. Billy Smith is with the Manchester Fire Department.
They discovered the vehicle was not in the water, it was suspended above the water on a tree.
Crews used their rescue equipment to make a pulley system, lifting the woman to safety. She's reportedly in stable condition.
Hundreds of horses are roaming free in a rural eastern Kentucky county. Paul Miles reports.
Researchers from Eastern Kentucky University estimate some 400 horses are roaming a mine reclamation site in Breathitt County.
Well, I think it's about everything that you can imagine. I've seen quarter horses and, you know, saddlebred type animals. There's some mules out there and some donkeys.
Professor Ed Fredrickson believes many of the horses were abandoned during the 2008 economic downturn and have increased in numbers. I'm Paul Miles.
Taking a look at the weather in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter, tonight we should have cloudy skies, scattered showers in the evening, then numerous showers later on, lows in the mid-50s, chance of rain should be around 70%. Tomorrow we should have warm temperatures, mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, then isolated showers later on, highs in the lower 60s, chance of rain at 50%. Tomorrow night we should have mostly cloudy skies, sprinkles possible in the evening, and then scattered showers late. Lows in the lower 50s, chance of rain at 30%. On Thursday, we should have mostly cloudy skies with a chance of showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Highs of around 70 degrees, chance of rain at 40%. Thursday night should have mostly cloudy skies, a 30% chance of showers in the evening, lows in the mid-50s. On Friday, you should expect partly sunny skies with a 30% chance of showers, highs in the mid-70s. And on Friday night, we should have showers with a chance of thunderstorms, lows in the mid-40s, chance of rain at 80%. Right now in Ashland, it's 74 degrees. Flemingsburg is 70 degrees. Inez is 73 degrees. Lexington is 70 degrees. It's 70 degrees in Winchester and 71 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and it is great to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, a bill proposing a complete prohibition of tobacco on public school grounds is being considered by the state legislature, yet several school districts already have such a ban in place. Greg Stottlemyre reports.
While legislation is moving through the General Assembly to make all public schools in the Bluegrass State tobacco-free, some school districts haven't waited for state lawmakers to get on the health bandwagon. For example, Warren County Public Schools have been smoke-free since the summer of 2015, an idea Superintendent Rob Clayton says was first suggested by students at Cumberland Trace Elementary, one of the district's 24 schools.
We teach our students every day about the importance of good decision-making and about living a healthy lifestyle. And our tobacco policy, I believe, sends a clear and consistent message to our community about not only the dangers of tobacco, but it also is consistent with what we teach our students in the classroom.
With 62 school districts tobacco-free, the legislation would require the remaining two-thirds to join them by the beginning of the 2018-2019 school year. The Senate passed the bill 25-8, sending it to the House. Critics of the legislation have complained it should remain a local decision. The legislation would prohibit the use of tobacco products, including in-school vehicles and at all school activities, by students, staff, and visitors. Clayton says the policy has not been difficult to enforce in Warren County, noting they do not take a punitive approach toward enforcement, rather educating those who violate the policy, who are almost always adults, at outdoor activities.
One of the things that helps when you don't see others doing it, I think it serves as a deterrent for others. A couple times where I've had to intervene, I think it was actually a little embarrassing for the individual.
Clayton says when the Warren County School Board passed the policy 2 years ago, the lone board member who voted no said there should be a designated outdoor smoking area on school grounds for adults. One of the state's leading health advocacy organizations, the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky, has sent a letter to school superintendents across the state urging them to move forward now, saying there's no reason to wait. Kentucky has the second highest youth smoking rate, with 17% of high school students smoking regularly. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock from NPR, and Braxton has a check of sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Morehead Incorporated, presenting the 12th Annual Morehead Antique Market Saturday and Sunday, March 4th and 5th at the Morehead Conference Center. Antiques, collectibles, heirlooms, glassware, jewelry, and more. Presented by Downtown Morehead Incorporated, the 12th Annual Morehead Antique Market at the Morehead Conference Center. Saturday, March 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information on Facebook under Downtown Morehead.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Kentucky basketball team has an SEC game tonight. The 11th-ranked Wildcats visit Missouri at 9 o'clock. With postseason play right around the corner, assistant Kenny Payne says the UK coaching staff is focused on holding each member of the Cats roster accountable for their level of play.
It's not about the other team, and that's no disrespect to any team we play in this conference. They all are good teams. Our standard is higher. We are demanding as coaches. This is a demanding program, and when you step on the court, you're expected to play a certain way.
The Wildcats are 22-5 overall and tied for first place in the SEC with Florida. Both teams have 12-2 league marks. Missouri is just 7-19, 2-12 in conference. Last night's 81-52 OVC victory at Tennessee Tech helped the Morehead State women's basketball team reach a major milestone. The win improved the Eagles to 20-8 overall, marking just the seventh 20-win campaign in the program's history. Coach Greg Todd's teams had won only 22 games combined in his first 2 years at MSU.
Quite an accomplishment, very proud from a team that did some good things for a young team last year, but still come up with 10 wins. So I would think nationally a plus 10 in counting from a difference from a year ago would have to be we would have to be in the ballpark of turnarounds.
The MSU women have also clinched the number 2 seed in the upcoming OVC tournament. They will host Jacksonville State on Saturday in their regular season finale. First round play in the boys' 61st district tournament is on tap for tonight in Frenchburg. Round County faces 8 and 20 Menifee County at 7 o'clock. With a 22-8 record, Coach Sean Thacker's Vikings are considered one of the contenders for this year's 16th region crown, along with Boyd County, West Carter, Elliott County, and Greenup County.
And there's a lot of other teams that are very, very capable of beating any of us. So, you know, it's going to be a fun postseason, and, you know, you're going to have to be on your game, and you're going to have to be consistent if you want a chance to advance and move on.
The 61st District's other first-round game, Fleming County versus Bath, is set for tomorrow evening. In other area district hoop action, in the 62nd in Grayson, 23-5 West Carter faces 9-19 Morgan County. Despite those records, West Coach Jeremy Webb doesn't think the Comets will have an easy time with the pesky Cougars.
Last time we played them down there, they had 9 threes on us, and it was a tight game right all the way down to the last few minutes of the game, and then we got ourselves a little bit of a cushion. But bottom line is our district seems like there's never any easements. You're going to have to come out ready to play and work for them.
In the 63rd District at Raceland, Russell battles Lewis County, and in the 64th District, Ashland Blazer hosts Fairview. The two teams split a pair of close regular season games, and Fairview coach Derek Cooks expects tonight's matchup to be another hard-fought battle.
Ashland seems to be playing really well. They've played some of the top teams in our region and outside of our region to very close ball games, and they've actually had leads late in games. So, you know, we know we're going to have our hands full. It's going to be a tough matchup, especially on the road third place.
Tonight's games start at 7 p.m. The Los Angeles Lakers announced today that they have hired Magic Johnson as their new president of basketball operations, while firing both longtime general manager Mitch Kupchak and executive vice president of basketball operations Jim Buss. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are on the road this evening with a matchup against Mississippi State at 5. This is the first of several challenging games on MSU's schedule, but head coach Mike McGuire says that tough slate will benefit his team.
I think you got to challenge yourself. You challenge your players. I think it prepares you for OVC play, postseason play, and those are our aspirations. So, you'll see we'll play at Mississippi State, at West Virginia. You know, we'll play at Louisville. Playing people like that just gets you better.
MSU is 2-2 on the season. Mississippi State is 3-1. They won the SEC regular season last year. Cincinnati Red Star Joey Votto admits things are much different these days around the team's spring training camp in Arizona. With the club embarking last year on a youth movement, a lot of familiar faces that Votto played with for many years are no longer wearing Reds uniforms.
It's happened slowly. You know, Brandon just getting traded, that's almost like one of the final steps, you know, and these guys were a big part of my life. So, yeah, seeing them play in different uniforms is quite a new experience for me.
The 33-year-old Votto hopes to build on his numbers of last year, where he batted .326 with 29 home runs and 97 RBIs. The Kentucky football team picked up two commitments for the 2018 recruiting class today. 3-star defensive end Davion Hawkins and 3-star wide receiver Marvin Alexander both committed to the Cats. They are the first commitments for UK's 2018 class. Finally in sports, we now know what caused the death of a Kentucky Derby winner. Paul Miles reports.
A necropsy reveals that Charismatic suffered a severe catastrophic fracture of his pelvis that resulted in fatal bleeding. The 1999 Derby winner was found dead Sunday at Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Center in Georgetown. Veterinarian Brian Waldridge says fatal pelvis fractures are uncommon and usually unforeseeable. He says it's not possible to know exactly how the injury happened to Charismatic. I'm Paul Miles.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball welcomes Tennessee Tech at 9 p.m. on Thursday. The game will be broadcast on the CBS Sports Network. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities kicked off the week on the right foot, closing at record highs following a key naming by the Trump administration, as well as more corporate earnings news. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish at a new all-time high, as it was the average was up 118.95 at 20,743. The S&P 500 was up 14.22, finishing at a record closing high of 2365.38. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 27.37, setting a record of its own, finishing at 5865.95. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 21-8 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The White House announced that Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster will become the new National Security Advisor. And, of course, McMaster replaces Michael Flynn, who resigned last week. And the markets had a very good reaction to the release of that news. Investors also digested several corporate quarterly earnings reports, including retail giants Macy's and Home Depot. Macy's posted mixed results, beating earnings per share estimates, but falling short on sales, while Home Depot exceeded Wall Street expectations for both revenue and sales. In trading, Macy's was flat today, while Home Depot finished with a gain of 1.3%. In economic news, the flash read on the IHS Market U.S. Purchasing Managers Index hit 54.3 for February. This fell slightly from January's 14-month peak, but of course any reading over 50 indicates an economy that is expanding. Overseas, European stocks rose broadly after strong economic data, with the Pan-European 600 index rising 0.64%. However, worries about a possible victory by Le Pen in the French election remained and were somewhat of a dark cloud, in particular on the French market. In the commodities markets, oil was up just under 1%, while gold was down just over 1%. Among Dow stocks, your winners today were Walmart and United Health Group, while your worst-performing stocks were Caterpillar and Travelers. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Scripps Networks and Mondelez, while your worst performers were Comcast and Freeport-McMoRan. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.38 at $123.19, CSX up 37 cents at $48.91, AEP up 64 cents at $64.75, AK Steel up 23 cents at $9.07, Marathon Petroleum up 37 cents at $50.39, and Community Trust Bank was up 20 cents to finish at $47. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
One last look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight we should have cloudy skies, scattered showers in the evening, then numerous showers later on. Lows in the mid-50s, chance of rain should be at 70%. Later on tomorrow you can expect warm temperatures, mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, and then isolated showers later on, highs in the lower 60s, chance of rain at 50%. On Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies, sprinkles possible in the evening, then scattered showers late. Lows in the lower 50s, chance of rain at 30%. On Thursday, we should have mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs of around 70 degrees, chance of rain at 40%. On Thursday night, we should have mostly cloudy skies, a 30% chance of showers in the evening. Lows in the mid-50s. On Friday, we should have partly sunny skies with a 30% chance of showers. Highs in the mid-70s. And on Friday night, we should have showers with a chance of thunderstorms. Lows in the mid-40s, chance of rain at 80%. Right now it's 74 degrees in Ashland, in Flemingsburg it's 70 degrees, Inez is 73 degrees, Lexington is 70 degrees, Winchester is 70 degrees, and it's 71 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Atkins, Kenzie Thompson, Tilden Johnson, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Network, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Dan Translator, W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.